Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Good morning, everybody. My name is David Lesner, one of the associate pastors here. This is D-Mac leading the band and all the awesome praise music worship that we have going on here today. We're going to spend a few weeks talking about the capital campaign that you might have heard about. It's called God's House, Our Home. And we're going to try and look at this not talking about money as much as possible, if that is possible during a capital campaign. But I want you to think about the scripture that was read in your own daily devotional. And even in terms of your own scriptural life, take the verse that we read today, because we really just read a small chunk of scripture, and read before it, read afterward, because it usually has a bearing of what the interpretation is and everything. So go home in your own life. Just take the scripture, take the bulletin home. You got the scripture on there. Read it for your own reading. I encourage you to do that. Now, one of the things that we've been talking about for the capital campaign is future, and it's God's house, our home. And so all of a sudden, I was thinking the other day that laid up in bed, you know, oh my gosh, is my house in order? You know, what are my finances like? What's my future like? And for those of you who don't know me, who maybe are new here, one, welcome. And two, I have a 2-year-old daughter. Her name is Arden. She is a wonderful, wonderful human being, and she thinks she owns this place already, which she does. But, you know, I started thinking about college. You know, college these days, you start saving 15 years before you have a kid in order to pay for, you know, college by the time it's coming up. And so that's why I ask you all to wear your alma mater shirt today. Maybe it's your high school, maybe it's your college, what you have on today. So I want to give you the opportunity, as I walk down amongst the crowd here a little bit, I want you to take the opportunity. If you have your alma mater shirt on, go ahead and stand up right now. Go ahead and stand up. Show it off like you're proud of it. Because one of the things I need from you here today is I've got my money on my mind, my mind on my money. I'm trying to figure out how am I best going to save it up so that Arden can be better prepared. And so I wanted to get some ideas of what you thought was the best. Because I looked at U.S. News and World Reports and started looking at their rankings and everything and how they did stuff. And I thought, well, am I trusting a magazine or am I trusting all these people that I know and love? And so I thought maybe I'd walk around and give a few people like 20 seconds or less to convince me why Arden should go to their school. So let's see. Carolina Tar Heels, let's see.
Go Tar Heels.
What's your name?
Angelina.
Okay.
All right, so we've got basketball. We also have baseball and soccer, which you may not know. But we've got the number 7 ranked business school in the United States. And what would make you really happy is Kiplinger has ranked us the number 1 best value school.
Nice.
10 years running. So low tuition and great competition. And if all of that isn't good enough, we got Michael Jordan.
Oh,
so,
man.
And I'm ready for her, too.
Oh, man. She's got a little Carolina little girl shirt on. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll consider that. Let me look around here and see what other ones I can come up with. Now, that's an interesting prospect. Let me go over here real fast.
Big Ten.
He's got a Big Ten shirt on, which I'm not sure if that's allowed. But, you know, out of state might be expensive. Can you convince me? Why should my daughter go to your school?
Iowa Hawkeyes. We're the only city that actually has 4 different seasons and 5 distinct smells. all experience in one day. Okay, second thing. Arden can find a seat in the library any Friday or Saturday night, for sure. Last thing, Saturday afternoon, Hawkeye football, heaven on earth. Thank you.
Okay. Sports is apparently a pretty big deal when you go to college. Now, no offense to Penn State, I'm going to bypass you because we already got a Big Ten here. Oh, wait a minute. Nice. We got the Traitors from the Big 12.
Wow.
So why should I go to Nebraska?
Thanks for the introduction.
What's your name?
I'm Seth Jensen. I am a dyed-in-the-wool, I-bleed-red Nebraska Cornhusker. Amen. Thank you. Hey, here's something that Art needs to know. Number one, Memorial Stadium on home football Saturdays is the 3rd largest city in the state of Nebraska. So that kind of puts in perspective that it's kind of got that small-town feel. We got a very strong walk-on program, which gives small-town farm boys like myself a chance. And we've produced more academic All-Americans than any other Division I school out there. And for a population, student population of under 25,000, that tells us we're not just preparing great athletes, but we're trying to get those kids a future. Thanks.
All right. I don't know, from what I heard in there, if she's not playing football, she's not much at the University of Nebraska. But all right, so we have a little Texas representation here. Kim, 20 seconds or less, why should Arden go to UT?
National championship.
Oh, I am really hoping that Arden is a great athlete based upon all those things. Now,
One of the things is I hear a lot of pride in the schools that are being represented. Of course, I want Arden to go to TCU. Now, obviously, we're the best school that's ever been, ever known to man. We have the best colors. We have the best mascot. We've got the best campus. Everything about that. We have a top-ranked business school. We've got education dance programs that are out of this world. Now, if any of you want to write me like a $100,000+ check to help pay for TCU, now I'd be more than willing to accept that for you. And that brings us to the question of, I believe you what you're saying about Texas and Nebraska and Iowa and UNC. I see Michigan State. I see all sorts of different colleges. I believe you about what you're saying. And what you're saying is a different experience from U.S. News and World Reports, what they can tell me. But what I want to know from U.S. News and World Reports is you all showed up here with your supporting your schools. Raise your hand if you still give money to your alma mater. A few people who are wearing their college jerseys and everything. That's one of the criteria that U.S. News and World Reports bases it upon. Now, it's not how many of you have given $1 million and have a building named after you, or how many of you could go to the library and find a step that has your picture on it or something like that. It's the number of alumni who give back. I'll make a confession. I love TCU. I would tell any kid to go there. It was a great place. I had a great time. And just like all the other people, that what would sell people on TCU with me is the stories that I have from there. I really resonate with my time there. But the thing that U.S. News and World Reports looks at is, out of those stories, how did that school have such an impact on you that you still give? I give $25 a year to TCU. That's it. It gives me an alumni magazine and a card that says I'm in the Young Alumni Club. I'll throw in there still. I got maybe, I think, 7 more years of the Young Alumni Club or something like that. But $25 is all I give. And you look at TCU's endowment, it costs $38,000-something. It's more expensive than Harvard now to go to TCU. And $25, it really doesn't make that much of a difference. Now, I bet if I went around, there could be people who are given a little bit more, but even $1,000 in the grand scheme of things in a university is almost next to nothing. But still, you choose, because you had such a great experience there, whatever, to wear these shirts around with pride that hopefully someone will go to OSU or UTEP or Kansas State or, at TCU again, any college, Michigan, that because you believe they turn out good people. They churn out quality education. They churn out quality products that are going to better society of some way. And so you continue to still support them. The question is, I guess, is do you put your money where your mouth is? Now, the irony about this whole thing for those people who wore T-shirts and have closets full of stuff is that you already paid probably over, depending on when you went to school, $50,000, $100,000 to go to school there. How much do they pay you to wear that shirt that you're wearing? But you still, obviously, it's the experience. You had a good time. You want to support that particular institution because you believe in it. If you look at the scripture verse from today, from Mark, it's this widow. And widows in the time of Jesus are still even comparable to widows today, although widows today have life insurance that they can deal with, but it's still hard. Hard out there for them. And in Jesus' day, if your husband passed away, you were pretty much left with nothing. There was no social status. You couldn't really get a job like you can today. You were left out. And so the only body of people that would protect you or would even look after you is the temple, is the body of believers, the whole of Israel who contributes into this one place so that one place can then go forward and contribute out. And so if you would imagine this woman who goes there, she probably doesn't have a Temple alumni shirt on. She may go every now and then, but she's certainly not one of the leadership. She certainly didn't graduate. She's not a rabbi of any sort. She doesn't have a whole lot of initial investment or big-time investment. She's not one of the big donors. She didn't have her own pew in the temple or anything. And Jesus and the disciples watch this woman come up. Now, she follows this group of people that are the massive alumni donors. They're the ones who have the skybox in the big house. They're the ones who have the parking spot with their name on it outside of UT, DKR Memorial, whatever it's called, for the stadium. And everyone knows who they are. And they are so proud to be in the alumni magazine of the David Lesner Hall of Fame at TCU. They're so proud of those things. And so they make a very conscious effort to showcase this big amount of money that they're giving to the temple. And they walk out with chest puffed high saying, I just made a big difference and I'm going to make a huge difference in the world. And this place is a better place because I've been here and I've contributed. And Jesus ignores those people. Which, to be honest with you, we need those people. And there are people in the world who just have that gift of generosity, or they've done well for themselves. You know, we don't like to hate on people who are wealthy, who are generous with their money, because they've obviously done well for themselves. They've made it in the world, and they're using their money for a great cause. And you can't really just hate them for being wealthy, necessarily. But Jesus ignores that person. And the person that she points out, or that he points out, is this widowed woman who no one really should care about, necessarily. Kind of the A&M alums of the world. As you go, oh, I know. That was for the Dugans back there. This one, no one else should care about in the entire world, who goes in there, and it says she drops two coins in, which are the value of a penny. Now, that's a modern translation that just kind of emphasizes how insignificant of amount this is. That's kind of like the offering plate going by and someone dropping a penny in there and saying, this is all I have. When we've been talking about investment, when you're talking about a university per se, how many students go to Michigan, would you say?
Too many, man.
Too many. Yeah, you look at, I mean, I'm guessing there's at least 40,000 or something like that that go there, at least 40,000. So you look at the number of alumni that go on, that pass on from Michigan, that go on, and you look at year after year of them graduating, it's got to be, you know, at least 8,000 to 10,000 or something every year. UT's the same way, A&M's the same way. These massive, massive institutions. TCU even has a student body of about 8,000 students. They graduate about 1,500 every year. And so that accumulates the alumni over the years. And my $25 is supposed to be significant in that portion. You know, I always feel good about myself because I check it for scholarships, thinking some kid is going to get $25 to help go to school here out of $38,000. And if I really thought about it, it would be really depressing to think, I'm not really doing anything. You know, this is what I can give, but I'm not really doing anything. Until it comes back to the ethics of Jesus, that it really is the little things in life that matter. It's the little things that make that university go. Sure, there are huge families that make buildings happen and all that kind of stuff. But you take away those givers and the university still runs. Because there are still hundreds of thousands and 200s of thousands of people there who are giving $25, which adds up. Now, it may not be as grand and grandiose as it could be with the big gifts and all that. But the little things make it happen. Take it out of the money standpoint. Think about your daily life. What makes a good day? What makes a good day for you? Is it coming home, sitting by your wife on the couch, watching your favorite TV show, and she has a smile on your face that you're home, or he has a smile on your face when you come home? Is it getting in your car, and you know, one of the funniest things for me is when I get in my car and I know that I have close to a full tank of gas for some reason, you know, because I know I don't have to spend $1 million that day filling up my car with gas. You know, it's those little things that build up that we are always looking for the miracles. We're looking for these massive things. We're looking for light shows. We're looking for something grand to make our day the best possible. We're looking, and you know, how many of you have ever started with your day saying, I hope something happens to me that's good, when you woke up already? You had a shower. You know, you had a house, most likely. You have a job, hopefully. You know, some people are looking for jobs, and I hope that you're praying for those people. But, you know, you get to go to a job. You have kids, perhaps. You know, these little things in life that truly make up what is happiness. And to bring this full circle, we talk about universities. We talk about contributing to them. We talk about our church family. Now, when we start a capital campaign, one of the secrets behind it is you take the top 10 giving families of the church and you sit them down and you kind of ask them, how can you be of support of this? Because this is our mission, this is our goal, and we made this clear that we are trying to eliminate as much debt as possible so that we have more money and more resources for ministry right here, right now, and in the future, so that our kids and our youth will have a better church to grow up in, and they will have so much more potential for making this world a better place going forward from this. And so we sit down with these 10 families and we ask, how much can you commit? And these families are really great and generous people and they did really, really great on this project. Now I want you to take those 10 families and imagine the top 10 families who give the most time or give the most to studying or something in the other scripture. They're the most 10 faithful families, I guess you could say. Not in terms of money, but in terms of the time given to making sure this church ran. Now you take that away and what do you have? Do you still have a church? Well, you could, because I did the math, and there are something like only 160, I don't know, there are 24 hours in a day, and I did the math earlier, but I'm not good at remembering numbers, so it was like 160-something hours in a week. We have 2,000 members of the church, all the way from kids up to adults, or a little under 2,000, And if everyone gave an hour every week to some form of service to the church or some form of study to the church, all of a sudden that becomes 2,000 hours, which is significantly more if you're not a math major in college, so 164 hours. So 164 hours is simply the hours in the day, which we don't even work those. We sleep 8 hours of those. So if everyone's giving 2,000 hours, how much can we do for now and the future? We also did the math on the money part, and we were talking about the capital campaign. If everybody gives $100 over 3 years, so $33 a year, basically, to the capital campaign, we raise $1 million, and we save something like $8,000 a month going into this. But one of the things that in this kind of situation, even in operating budget, in capital campaign, even in terms of Bible study, even in terms of service to the church, everything, the most kind of nagging comment on my soul is, I just don't have enough. I can't give what you're asking for. And now I make it no secret that Jesus asked for your life. Jesus asked for everything that you have, maybe not in terms of here's the boatload of money, just take it and go run with it. I want to be poor with my life. Jesus, you know, the widow that Jesus is talking about, I'm pretty sure that when he says that's all he has is that those two coins are what she has left, that she can live on the bare necessities. The two coins are everything she has left she gives to the temple that time. And so when people say they don't have enough, they're thinking that, you know, I have to become a pastor if I truly want to fulfill, you know, David's expectations of what we do. No, not everyone's called to be a pastor. Not everyone's called to this full time. It's what do you have left? What do you have left that you can give? And where are those priorities going? And I often hear, I just don't have enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough biblical smarts to sit in Bible study, which, by the way, if you don't think you know enough about the Bible, that's what Bible study's for. You don't need to know about the Bible to go into Bible study. And we think we don't have enough. Most of the times in life, we don't think we are enough. We doubt ourselves. We get into these situations where we just don't think we make a difference. And all Jesus wants is those two pennies, those two coins that make the entire difference. And it's not about how much you give, it's that you give. It's that you're contributing in some way. It's you're wearing that t-shirt that says, I'm proud to be a part of this place because I think it makes a huge difference in the world. And so I'm proud of my $25 that I give to TCU. I'm proud of my meager tithe that I give. I'm not at 10% yet. We're not at 10%. We're working at that as a young family. And I would guess most of you aren't 10% as well. And I hope that you work for 10%. I hope that you work toward an hour of study, an hour of service, an hour of sharing the gospel in the world. I hope that you work up to those ideals that we put out there, those biblical ideals. But if you're not there yet, it doesn't mean you give up. If you don't know about the Bible perfectly, it doesn't mean you don't go to Bible study. And so you take that little bit that you can give, those two pennies, and you make sure that you're giving what you can, and you give a little bit to where it hurts a little bit. And then once you're comfortable with that, you give a little bit more to where it hurts a little bit more. And then all of a sudden you start to see your priorities shape up. Because a capital campaign really isn't about the building. And a capital campaign really isn't about the debt. That's the material things we get to see. That's the results we get to see. A capital campaign is, where does your spiritual priorities lie? What are you saying, I support and I think that this place is making disciples and transforming the world? It's the same with your universities. If you're giving money, if you're wearing the t-shirt around, you are actively saying, I mean, you paid to advertise for that university. You care about it that much. You love it that much. When you're giving money to a church, when you're putting your time into a church, when you're wearing the church t-shirt around, you are saying that I will pay to be a part of that. I want to support what's going on. I love God and I realize God loves me enough to know what's going on. That's what a capital campaign is about. It's about checking our priorities to seeing where we lie. Now you can listen to story after story about why Arden should go to UNC or Texas or A&M or anything. But there are a million stories about why you should come to Stonebridge United Methodist Church. There are a million stories that you could tell the rest of the world because we share them amongst ourselves and they're glorious. They're wonderful to hear each other's stories, but we already know those stories. We all have our own stories. We want you to share them out in the world And those stories are what I want you to think about when we're talking about the capital campaign, when we're talking about operating campaign, when we're talking about Bible study, when we're talking about anything that we ask you to do around here. We're not just doing it for our own self-preservation. We're doing it because we believe that it's good and right, and it'll help transform your life to help make this more like the kingdom of heaven. And so I want you to take a look at this video and the stories that have already been shared. Let's watch these stories.
I love to go to this church. I feel so relaxed, and I am meant to be here with the Lord.
The first time I have seen my husband be fulfilled with encouragement to grow and be closer to God.
It's not only Sunday, it's every day. A refuge Monday through Sunday, a vision and a chance to follow the way, a shining light, a beacon for me, a joy in good times, a crutch in sad. God's love, joyful, refreshing, fulfilled in His everlasting grace.
It's my morning coffee that starts my day and keeps me moving throughout the week.
It is the place where the bright light of the Lord can shine brightly in my community, a place where when I pass by or am inside represents what was, can, and will be, a place the Lord can touch lives so close to home, my family's home away from home.
It makes me care about God more often.
It means a place and people I can come be a part of and know that we love each other and accept each other unconditionally, to gain knowledge of who I am and who I need to be by listening to others and raising each other up.
It's an anchor in this hectic life. It's the place that grounds me.
It made me discover my faith because I was without it before I came here.
I like to go in Sunday school.
Sanctuary, a place that is filled with people that are truly seeking the joy that Christ offers. A place where I can praise openly and leave my cares at the foot of the cross.
It means family, a place of worship, fellowship, to go as a refuge, and a place to pray. Most of all, it's the people who become my second family, who love and care for me and my family.
Comfort in a nerve-wracking world. Love of friends that want the best for me. Wisdom to learn from the learned.
Love and fellowship to feed my soul, a need to belong to a community of faith, to grow in the knowledge of the Bible, a peaceful place to get rid of stress, and to associate with the best people anywhere.
It's a haven even when things aren't going so well, and I am thankful for that.
It's my family when my own family is broken.
I want to reiterate again that Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, there are several times in the Bible where it talks about that everybody has a gift. Whether your gift is giving a boatload of money, or whether your gift is cleaning the floor after the bridge service, whether your gift is setting up the stage, whether your gift is even preaching, different things all come together to make the whole. And we appreciate everyone who uses their gifts because they're using them for the betterment. And that's part of what's giving to a university is about, giving to a church or participating is really it's that kind of you get what you give and you give what you get. That you come here and you experience the fullness of this place and you want to be a part of it. And then once you start being a part of it more and more, you realize how much you're actually getting out of it because of you giving. And so I want to encourage you, if you have 5 minutes, then sweep all the bulletins off the floor after service. If you have 45 minutes before service, come up here and set up the stage with Melissa and Jenny. If you've got an hour, we can find something. If you have several hours, you can lead upward basketball. It's the opportunities are endless for you to contribute because once we all get on the same page, we'll realize you make this church. Everything that this church has become, you did. And so everything this church will become, you will also do. There's some opportunities coming up. Vacation Bible Camp is coming up. If you want to be a part of that, you can register your kid. They can get out of it, but you can also get a lot out of it by giving your time to that, to volunteer for that. They need everyone they can get. It is a wonderful, wonderful program for kids. Another opportunity coming up, Parents Night Out, is not necessarily an opportunity to give, but it's an opportunity to give to your marriage. It's an opportunity to get something from this church that you put into. that we have people who are able to give you a night off from that. And I want to iterate that if you do have questions about the capital campaign, right afterward at the up in the upper alley, right after the service, you can go up and they'll answer any question that I haven't answered in such an eloquent way in the last 10, 12 minutes or something like that. And then as you leave this place, mine broke. Oh, shoot. I'll get a new one, but the kids made prayer bracelets for everybody. And so I encourage you as you're walking out, grab one of these prayer bracelets and pray for the Capital campaign. Pray what your part would be in the Capital campaign and in the church. Pray what your part would be in your family. Pray what your part would be at your job. Pray what your part would be all around the world, that you would be a part of what Jesus is doing. And so if yours doesn't break, you don't lose the beads, then tie it around your wrist and wear it throughout the community. Help it remind you every single day of what we're trying to do here, because you have made this place a wonderful place, and you will continue to make this place a wonderful place because we have the power of Christ behind us. And that's what all those verses say about using your gifts toward the one common goal. If the one common goal is the goal of Jesus Christ, it's the mission of Jesus Christ. And anything and everything we do here at the church, if it's not, in your opinion, reaching the mission of transforming people's lives in Jesus and spreading the gospel, then we really would like that feedback, because that's what we want to be about. I mean, we want everything to be geared, whether it's just having fun or whether it's actual really in-depth study or whether it's missions, is everything funneling toward that goal of making disciples of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the one who invites us to his table. We get a lot out of Jesus and we give a little bit. We give the little things. I think God smiles at that. Every individual voice as we're singing, God smiles at. God smiles at all of our individual gifts. But think about how much Jesus has given us. We're still celebrating the resurrection of Easter. We're still celebrating. We constantly celebrate the new life given in that. And I always think Maundy Thursday, when the Lord's Supper happened, is one of the important parts about that, because that's the first time he really charges us and says, you will have new life, and you'll have new life on this earth, and you will go and do something in my name. And to reiterate, to emphasize this, he hands us, yes, that's the third time I said reiterate. They're laughing at me over here. During communion of all hands, he emphasizes this by holding up the bread at the meal, taking the very body that sustains them and nourishes them, and says, this is my body broken for you. Take this, eat this, and remember me. And then he takes the cup and blesses it and says, this is my blood poured out for you, the blood of the new covenant. Take this and remember me always. I want to invite the people who are helping in communion to go ahead and come on up. And I want to invite us to realize is that when we take part of communion, we're taking part of millions and millions of people around the world who are taking part in communion, that we are just one little person, but we do so much together. And your little bit, the little things that you do throughout your life, make a huge difference, because they're teaming up with a whole body of believers that are doing the same things. And so as you take your piece of bread, think about all the little things that you do and make sure that you're making people's day better. Make sure you're making your own day better. Make sure you are making the mission of Christ fulfilled with those little things. And so let us pray together, if you will, pray with me. Gracious God, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon this gift of bread and juice, that it would be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that we might be the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the world, making disciples and transforming this place to look more like you want to smile upon it, because we know you already are smiling upon us. And so let us give back to you all that you have been given, the little things, the big things, our entire lives. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.